Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's HAYES. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. All right, the Raptors are back in action in Boston tomorrow night, and then Dallas and Luka in town on Saturday night. This Ben Simmons story continues to just go around and around and around. I guess he showed up today, claims he's got back issues now. He's not mentally prepared to play for the team, and they have no idea if he's going to play because they're supposed to play tomorrow night, and I guess he'll show up for shoot around, and it's against the Nets. They're playing Brooklyn tomorrow night on ESPN. It's a big game. They have no idea Ben Simmons is going to be a part of the program if he wants
to
be a part of the program.
Him. You can't have him there on a game day, man. That'll be a disaster.
I totally agree. Let's see what Jack Armstrong thinks about this. Here's our TSN Raptors and NBA analyst. If you were running the show in Philly, how would you handle this Ben Simmons story?
Well, I think they're in a tough spot, guys, as you know. I mean, I think it's worse for the team for Ben Simmons. I mean, we saw James Harden kind of force his way out of Houston a year ago. And here we are 12 months later. I remember when it happened. But he's fine. Everything's good. He's playing with the Nets. And other than the people in Houston being ticked off, he's James Harden. He's a superstar, and life goes on. And then that'll be the same thing for Ben Simmons. Yeah, when he comes back once or twice a year to Philadelphia, they'll boom and they'll be all over his case and this, that, the other thing. But he'll go to another market. There'll be an owner and executives and coaches and team and fan base that'll all forgive him, and life will go on. So I think the problem is, you know, as long as Ben Simmons and his representatives are willing to lose some money, then, you know, they'll get what they want eventually. The problem is, I think, Daryl Morey, the GM of the Sixers, has been asking people for a king's ransom, and the Sharks are circling, and everybody knows the kid's not playing for the Sixers anymore. And, you know, they're going to wait, and they're going to get a better offer, make a better offer and get a better offer back than exists. And, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, I follow the Buffalo Sabres, and you see what's gone on with Jack Eichel, and here they are off to a 3-0 start. And who knows how long it'll last, but hey, good for them. But the difference is people have questions from a health perspective about Jack Eichel. So that puts Jack Eichel in a tough spot, and it puts the Sabres in a tough spot because there's a lot of questions of, if I trade for this guy, can he play? I think we all know that if you trade for Ben Simmons, he can play. So I think the Sixers are in a tough spot, and they're going to have to, you know, kind of reflect on where they're at and kind of reboot on what they're asking and be more fair and reasonable based upon the situation, because the other 29 teams are going, I'm not giving you that because – You're screwed. You're in a corner right now, and you got to be more fair and reasonable to make a deal here.
That's what I don't understand, Jack. With both players you just mentioned, Simmons and Eichel, isn't the smart play by the general manager in both instances? Like, the idea of the king's ransom for both of these players, and Simmons is a good player. I don't think he's a great player. Like, he has issues shooting. Like, who wants to give up a king's ransom for a guy that has issues shooting? And for Eichel, I think it's just best, to move on from it. You're not going to get a king's ransom. End of story. Even if he has the surgery and comes back and he's healthy, whatever. Just, I think the best play is move on from the player, get the best you can, and let your organization move on.
Well, here's the other thing. We talk about, a lot of times we're talking about skill. How about the makeup?
No
kidding. Like, how about the guy? How about the human being? You know, how about...
Like, who could be watching Simmons right now with the way he's carrying on, saying, I got to bring that into my locker room? Like, give me a break.
Well, you know, a lot of people felt that way about James Harden. He's pretty damn good. You know, so it's just... Now, James Harden's a much better player than Ben Simmons.
That's right.
And James Harden's a much better player than Jack Eichel, quite frankly. So it's just a matter of, I think the teams that do their true due diligence, it's more about, hey, look, I look at a guy and I go, okay, I know what his shooting ability is, this, that, the other thing. You know, I sit with my coaching staff and I'll go, hey, can we fix this guy or not? Can we make this guy Giannis or some version of Giannis? But the difference is when I look at Ben Simmons, I'm saying, wait a minute, does he have the eye of the tiger? Does he have big you-know-what like Giannis? Because Giannis will rip your heart out. And, you know, that to me is what we're really talking about. And I think teams, that's, you know, when they get together and they shut the door and they go, okay, look, we know he can do this, 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 and we know he can't do this, this, this. But the bottom line is, is this the guy I want in the foxhole next to me? Is this the guy that I'm going to be able to walk down that dark alley with, and he's going to have my back? And, you know, is he that kind of guy? And I think when you evaluate that, that's really where it's at. And the Sixers are in a tough spot, and I think other teams are saying, look, if I'm going to take some of this, and I already know he has – X, Y, and Z flaws in his actual skill set, I'm more concerned with what are the flaws of the guy, and, you know, how does he fit in my room, and is, when push comes to shove, when the chips are down and it's 102-101 and the game's on the line, is this guy going to vault forward and make a play to help us win, or is he going to shrink? And that's where we're at.
With Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst, the truth is we could have used Ben Simmons. We could use Jack Eichel on the floor last night at Scotiabank. I mean, the Raptors, I think Jack would have shot like 40% from the field and probably boosted the numbers a little bit. That offensive production out of this Raptors team was as awful as I have seen in a long time. They barely shoot 30%. That's because of what happened in the fourth quarter. 20% from three. And I said earlier this hour, Jack, last night was a Kyle Lowry appreciation night for me, because we've talked a lot about why Kyle is missed in camp and on the buses and in the hotels and in the room. We finally got to see why he's missed on the court, because they had nothing cooking last night. I can't believe they performed the way they did. What did you make of it? You were in the building calling the game, watching it live, courtside. What was it like from that vantage point?
You know, to watch the body language, particularly the guys I know well, you know, OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, Chris Boucher. Now, Chris Boucher obviously has been out, and clearly he was rusty. But watching OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet up close and personal, to me, you know, I hope I'm not dating myself, but there's enough people now that are, even the younger people that are into vinyl and to listening to music on records. And I was laughing. I ran into a fan when I was walking to the washroom last night. He said, they're playing like frantic. And I said, you know, you make a good point. And I just said to the guy, I said, hey, you know, you're old enough. You know, you get it. I said, you know, it's like a record that's supposed to play at 33 RPMs and it's playing at 78. It throws your whole game out of whack. And watching OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet last night, they were like way too hyped up. They were way too speeded up. And it throws your whole game out of whack. You know, you're just all over the place. You know, you're making like caffeine look nervous. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Like you're just too jumpy. You know, it's like three bottles of 5-hour energy or a Red Bull or whatever. And that to me, watching them, Precious Achiuwa just blow lob dunks early on. I mean, that's like 4 or 6 points there that were really nice plays, and just you don't make them. And I don't know. I just, to me, I looked at them and I just thought they were way too keyed up, too hyped up. And the other thing, and again, I'm not making an excuse. It's just fact. I mean, they didn't play a game for 8 days, And, you know, there's a whole different gear when you play after playing five preseason games, and now you play a game that matters. And suddenly the Wizards are like at that next gear, and they got a lot of veteran guys, and they're ready to play. And you don't have that many veteran guys, and your veteran guys are at home, and they haven't played at home in 600 days, and they're all keyed up, and they have championship rings, and they want to perform at a high level, and they care. So I don't know. Maybe I think in some ways they tried too hard, and in no way, shape, or form do I look out there last night and say these guys didn't play hard enough or try hard enough. I think they tried too hard, and I think they were way too keyed up, and they were just all out of whack. And I think they'll calm down and they'll settle down. And yeah, they had some issues offensively, no doubt about it. But I look at this team based upon what I've seen so far, just watching them in training camp in the preseason and even last night. There's talent there. There's ability. Are there going to be nights so that they look the way they did last night? Yes, definitely. Is this a championship team? No. But is this a team that can contend for a playoff spot? I think they can. And when they settle down and kind of get into a flow, I think they'll be fine.
Jack, I'll give them hyped up for one night. You mentioned OG being hyped up and too caffeinated, whatever you want to call it. But when you talk about replacing Kyle, everyone in the organization would throw out the standard line, which is it's got to be by committee. But do you think he can settle himself down and develop into a more consistent scorer, or is that just a work in progress?
Well, I loved what I saw from OG Anunoby in preseason. I loved what I saw from him after the All-Star break last year. And I think he's a stock that you buy. I think he's not even a hold or a sell. He's a buy. I think he's ready to take another step. And as things kind of settle down on their team and they figure out role definition and style of play and this, that, the other thing, I think he'll be good. I like what I'm seeing. I like where he's at in his development. He's super smart, super tough, committed, plays hard. His skill set is improved. He's got a great makeup. And to me, I think he's a guy that can guard at any level, at any position in the league, and be one of the better defenders in the league. And I think his offense is coming along nicely. So, again, I just thought he was out of control last night and not himself. And Fred VanVleet, I thought the same thing. There were times he was trying to do way too much and kind of taking his game into the trees in there sometimes, into the big fellas. And sometimes he has a tough time getting his game off in there. And, again, I think as things settle down around him, he'll pick his spots better. I think he's more of a perimeter guy. He can finish at times in the lane when the space is there for him to get to the rim and beat his guy one-on-one. But when there's a lot of help closing in, he just does not have the size to finish all that traffic consistently.
What'd you make of Scotty Barnes in his pro debut last night?
Well, again, I like to look at things in the bigger picture rather than one night. I mean, I liked what I saw from him last night. I really like what I've seen from him sitting and watching practice, watching him play five preseason games, and then last night. Now, was he as good last night as what I had seen prior? No, but no one was. But I like what I see. He can handle it. He can pass it. He's got good vision. He's smart. He's got a really good feel for the game. He is not a guy that you're going to go and say he's going to get 30 one night and this, that. He's going to be a guy that will kind of spread it along. You know, he'll get you 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block. He's going to kind of, it's interesting. I did the TSN pregame show the other day, and Sam Mitchell made a good point. He says he's not this guy. He says, but he got a lot of Scottie Pippen in his game where he's going to be a really good player on a lot of different fronts. Kind of like, and I saw Tracy McGrady when he was a young player here in Toronto. He's got a lot of that in him. Is he at the level of a Scottie Pippen or Tracy McGrady? Those guys are Hall of Famers. In no way, shape, or form am I implying that. I would never put that kind of pressure on him. I just think that he has a lot of those attributes where he can impact the game in a number of ways. And I think as he develops a pet move or two as well, he had a beautiful lefty hook last night. He's shown the hook a few times. He just has to get, you know, to a point where he's got a pet move on the left block, a pet move on the right block, a pet move going on the right side of the floor, left side of the floor, middle of the floor, you know, all the little counters to that. But that's all going to come. But there's no doubt he has a really good base because he sees things, he handles it, his handle's tight, he passes it, he's smart. The view isn't blurry, you know, like there's clarity when he plays. You know, like, a really good players have peripheral vision and they see the other nine. It's like a quarterback with, you know, the all 22 that they do. I mean, really good. He has that. Like, that's the thing I really like about him. Like, wow, that's cool. He saw that. You know, guys that aren't that good don't see that play out of the left corner of their eye when they're right hand dominant. You know what I'm saying? And like, he's got that in him. So there's a lot of cool stuff that he has within him that it's just going to take time to develop. But to me, you know, to use a baseball analogy, I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be hitting in the middle of the order. He's going to be your 3-4-5 hitter. He's that good.
All right, Jack, we're off and running. Game 1 of 82. Fans Hello. Back in the stands. Drake was in the house last night. You guys were in the house. It was great to see. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Have a great night.
There is Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors analyst.